right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're going old school today. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Hopefully you guys had a good week. Been sick a little bit, so I'm actually really cold. That's why I'm wearing my sweatshirt. So Lord willing, we can get through it. All right, if you remember, last week we launched off our Missions Month. And so for this entire month and beyond, that we want to really focus on the heart of God for missions. And during our time together, we talked about how really the gospel is the good news that everyone needs to hear. That the gospel is the good news that everyone needs to hear. And so in order for us to move in this calling of missions, we talked about four things. First of all, believe and stand under all of God's word. We believe that the word of God is true for our lives, and we need to live and move according to those truths. Secondly, we have to believe that God is deserving of all worship. We talked about how missions exist because worship does not. And so when you think about the context of missions and evangelism, it's really about inviting people to be able to worship God for themselves, right? Because we believe that worship isn't just about singing the songs and, you know, listening to James bang on the whatever that thing is and Ali sing. And I mean, that's great. But missions is about living out the love of Christ outside of the walls of the church. And so it's this invitation that God gives to all of his creation, and we believe that God is deserving of all worship. Thirdly, we believe that Jesus is the only way. That missions is so important for us because we believe that there are no other ways to be reconnected to the heart of God except through Christ and Christ alone. And lastly, we talked about how we believe that we are called to go and speak. That it's not enough just for us to know that this is the heart of God, but we have to know that actually because this is the heart of God, that he is calling us to go. And so for some of us, it's that going part where it's tricky, right? But for others of us, it's the speaking part that's a little bit tricky. But God calls us actually not only to go, but to speak as well. And so today we want to continue in our talk about missions and see exactly what this is going to look like in our context. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and read this together. Genesis 12. By the way, I don't know why, but this story just popped into my mind. Baptism is coming up, so if you have not been baptized, we'd love to baptize you. I love dunking people underwater, all right? So please sign up. If you've just recently became a Christ follower, we'd love to recognize that, and so please sign up. And so even if you're not sure about baptism, sign up for the class, because during the class, we're going to talk about what baptism is, what it's not. And I believe that baptism, really, when you think about it, it's the beginning point in our relationship with Christ. The reason why I was thinking about this is because I have a funny story of one of my roommates when I was in Ann Arbor. And this was our second year of our Peru trip. He was my roommate. He was actually one of our leaders. He was working at the time. He was participating in the trip. And so we were in the jungle area in Peru, baptizing all the converts who came to know Christ through working with the local church, our crusades and so forth. But in the midst of doing this, we actually found out. I wasn't there because I was in Mexico that year. But actually found out my roommate, who was on part of the team, was actually one of the leaders of our church, that he's never been baptized. And so we're like, I don't know how you became a member. And he started serving, and he eventually became a leader. But we found out that he never got baptized. So we're like, well, this is good of a place as any, right? And so we baptized all the locals first, and then he was baptized in the Amazon River, which is on all, because how many of us can say that that's our testimony, right? We went to Peru, and in the Amazon River, we were baptized. So not quite the Amazon River, UACC, all right? But nevertheless, we want to celebrate that with you. So please keep that in mind for baptism, okay? All right, well, let's go ahead and read this together. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. There's a word of God. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. It's important for us to understand when we talk about this topic of missions that missions exist not because it was created by us, right? Like, we saw the need of the world around us and we thought, wow, you know what? It would be really good to bring Jesus and bring hope to the world. Missions is not an idea that was created by a man or a woman. Because when it comes to missions, we point out various statistics, like how the world looks and so forth. And I think it's important for us to understand that. But we also have to realize that missions is not created by us, that it's not man-centered. For us to understand a little bit about just the context of the world that we live in, I wanted to show us this video. Because I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit more of a visual learner. And so I think this is going to be helpful. So let's go ahead and watch this video together.
In the beginning, God created everything. He created a world full of people to know him and to be known by him. This is the story of the Bible, God bringing people to himself. And when we read the Bible, we see how God went to great lengths to do this and how much God cares about people knowing him. You most likely already know this. And you probably live somewhere where people have a general understanding of this great love story between God and humanity. And if they don't know yet, there's probably somebody in town who can tell them. But did you also know that there are 3 billion people who will live and die without ever hearing this story? Not because they don't care, but because they don't have a choice. Nobody ever told them that once upon a time, God became a human just like them, so that he could teach them how to know their creator. 40% of the world doesn't know this, and they won't know this. Not unless something changes. Not unless someone goes to tell them. Jesus is our wonderful example. He left his natural home to come to us. And then he tells us to do the same thing. Because we love Jesus and care about the same things that he cares about, we care about this. That the whole world would know him. That every tongue, tribe, and people group would come and be able to worship him. So the question is, are we doing this? Going out into the world to bring the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation? Well, kind of. While churches do send people out, almost half the world still doesn't have any access to the gospel. But how is this possible? Aren't there people being sent? Well, yeah. There are about 400,000 people serving across the world today. But only 3% of them are actually going to the 40% who have never heard about Jesus. The other 97%, they're going to places that have already heard about Jesus. There's an imbalance. That imbalance leaves only one person for each 250,000 people who have never heard about Jesus. Put another way, we have a spirit-led calling to rethink our focus. When you look at how we use our resources, such as money, the picture doesn't look that much better. To be specific, Christians around the world are giving about 2% of their income to Christian causes. And less than 7% of that is going to cross-cultural workers, which means that only 0.1% of all Christian giving is going to cross-cultural work. And of that cross-cultural giving, only 1/100th of that 0.1% is actually going to those working with the 3 billion people who don't know Jesus, have no church or any Christian neighbors. The other 99% of all cross-cultural giving goes to the rest of the world that already has Christians, Bibles, and churches. Are you seeing the imbalance? Only 3% of our workers with only 1% of our cross-cultural finances are going to the 3 billion people who have never heard about Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with this? We want those 3 billion people to hear about the kingdom of God and how much God loves them. There are 17,000 ethno-linguistic groups in the world, people who share language, culture, and common history. 7,000 of them are considered unreached people. These are entire cultures who have never heard the amazing story of how Jesus loves them and came to save them. God has called us to pay attention to this, to love and care for the same things that he does. He put this desire on our heart to see the unreached reached with the amazing story of the love of God. We want to see lasting local church planting movements begin among these people groups that brings renewal and transformation among these cultures and societies. Why? Because God has moved our hearts to see the gospel transform whole societies among the unreached. We know this task is bigger than us. Many of the areas that are in need of the gospel are difficult and resistant places. It isn't something that can be accomplished overnight, but by the power of the Spirit, we endeavor to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that God can be worshiped by all peoples.
All right. I mean, just think about some of those statistics. The reality that we still live in a world where 3 billion people have never heard of the name of Jesus. It's not like they've heard it and they've rejected it, but they've never even had an opportunity to hear about who Jesus is. And that's 40% of the world that we live in, which is mind-boggling, especially because when you think about our world, think about how connected we are, right? You hear something happening on the other side of the world and you find out immediately through Twitter and so forth. Yet, in the world that we live in, there's 40% of people like you and I who've never even had the chance to hear about the name of Jesus. And the majority of them actually live in the 1040 window. So I have, that's the 1040 window. A lot of missiologists. So it's North Africa, Middle East, Southeast Asia. That's where majority of the people who have never heard the name of Jesus reside in. And so the urgency to reach the world, it's real. And the urgency is great. But what we have to understand is when you think about missions, and when you think about our involvement and our hearts in missions, it's not just responding to the need, but it's responding to the understanding of who God is. In other words, missions, it doesn't start because we hear some statistics or we see some pictures and we see a need. But mission starts because we see God. And as we see God sending us out to meet those needs. Because statistics remain statistics. But when God sends you out to meet those needs, those statistics become names and stories. They become lives. And you realize, regardless of what they look like, where they live, the language that they speak, that every single life, they matter to God. And the only way that our hearts will be changed is if we are able to see the reality of who God is. And so there are three principles that I want us to understand and I want to draw out from this passage. And some of these things that I want to talk about, just full disclosure, I was able to glean some of this from a book that I've been reading from Dr. Keller, and he talks about some of these things. And so I want to talk about these three principles about understanding who God is and how we need to respond to God, okay? The first principle is this, that when we meet God face to face, it pushes you out. That whenever you encounter God face to face, it pushes you out. So Dr. Keller says this, and I quote, "Whenever you see God for who he really is, it changes you into a person in mission, person who engages in mission." And it's not something that you decide within yourself, but it's something that the Spirit of God stirs up within our hearts. And so when you meet God, it destroys this consumer mindset that we have that God exists to serve our needs. It destroys this me mentality. But when you see the reality of who God is, it pushes you out. And we see this, that from the beginning when God encountered Abraham, or Abram at the time, that when he has this face-to-face encounter, so to speak, that the first thing that he says to Abraham is what? He says what? Go from your country. In other words, here I am. You've encountered my glory. Now you are pushed out. So God says, go from your country and go from your kinsmen and go from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And we see this pattern over and over again in the lives of men and women who encounter God face to face. And it's not just an isolated incident. That when you encounter God, he calls you to step out of your comfort zones. He calls you to take risks where you have to trust him. Now, I'm not just talking about this general belief in God. Right? This general knowledge that God exists and that he loves you. But I'm talking about when you meet God, right? Like when you meet God. That when you come face to face with this living God, what we see is immediately he pushes you out. This happened with Moses. You think about the story of Moses. For all these years, Moses believed in God. But in Exodus 3, he has this face-to-face encounter with the living God. When God finally reveals himself in all of his glory, in all of his purposes, what does God do? He pushes him out. We see this again in the life of Prophet Isaiah. When he has this face-to-face encounter with God, even when God says, you know what? If you go, these people, they're not going to respond to your message. It's going to be tough. You might not see fruits. Now, I don't know about you, but if God came to me and said, you know what, Ben, I want you to go to this place, but you may never see results again, and because maybe I'm a little bit more result-driven, I'd be like, you know what? There's plenty of other good brothers in our church. Lots of single, strong men that are willing to dedicate their lives. So send them. Right? I have little kids. But Isaiah, when he comes face to face with the living God, he says what? Here am I. It's this immediate heart reaction that says, God, send me out. And again, when the disciples, they finally encountered Jesus and finally understood after his resurrection who he was, right? All these years, 3 years of following him, they were scratching their head thinking, I don't know who he is. I thought he was going to be this, but he died. And then when he rose again, what does Jesus immediately do? Right? He doesn't say, you know what? I want you to go to IHOP, have some pancake, and I want you to think about what you're going to do. No, he says what? Go out. It's really amazing to think about how every time someone sees God for who he really is, and not only these biblical stories of men and women, but even stories of missionaries, even stories of ordinary men and women who have gone before us, when they encounter God for who he really is, that they're willing to say, I will risk it. Right? I will risk it. And the question is, are you willing to be pushed out and risk because you see God for who he really is? Dr. Keller says this, and I quote, God is a spiritual tornado, right? Some of us think God is this gentle spring breeze where you're having a picnic and life is good. But Dr. Keller says, no, you got it wrong. God is a spiritual tornado. In other words, he's going to mess up your life. And he says this, and I quote, he says, he will never bless you except to make you to be a blessing. Think about that. Some of you thinking, man, in my relationship with God, I don't know if I'm blessed or not. I don't really know if God is for me or not. I don't know whether the power and the promises of God are being released in my life or not. Well, maybe the reason is that you're not living to be a blessing. And I know that's a very strong statement, that he will never bless you except to make you to be a blessing. But that's the reality of God's calling in our lives, that God never pulls you in without sending you out. And you will never experience the blessings of God in your life unless you are willing to risk to be a blessing to others. That's why when you think about who is the most joyous person in the world, right? You're thinking of someone like, well, Justin Verlander, he just won the World Series. He got married with Kate Upton. So he must be on cloud, you know, it's not even cloud nine. It's like cloud 55. And some of you are like, who is Justin Verlander? That's all right. Who is Kate Upton? I mean, you think about who is the most joyful person. It's Jesus. Why? Because his life was defined by what? Stepping out. His life was defined by taking risks. And in the midst of it, he knew what it meant to be blessed. God doesn't bless you so that you can become wealthy or healthy. But God blesses you so that you can become a blessing to others. Number two, we can't be a blessing to others unless you are willing to lose things. When God calls Abraham to go, he says what? Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. It's easy for us to skip through all of that, of what Abraham is leaving, and think about, okay, God's promise is that he's going to make Abram into a great nation. But God says, no, in order for you to be a great nation, you have to lose all this. You have to lose your family. You have to lose your security. Think about family, what that represents. You have to lose your sense of identity. You have to lose your wealth. But God makes it very clear that you cannot be a blessing to others unless you are willing to lose everything. And so as soon as you start getting out, you will realize that it's going to cost you. When you start getting involved in Jesus' ministry, it's going to cost you. And sometimes that cost might feel like you're just not able to bear it. But God makes it very clear that you cannot be a blessing to others unless you are willing to lose it. Think about what this means. When you are not willing to go out and not willing to lose things to be a blessing to others. Right? Think about what that means. That means it's not just that you're not listening to God. Right? Oftentimes we think about it in the context of we're not listening to God. I feel like God is calling me to go and share the gospel. Or I feel like God is calling me to serve in this capacity. But man, I have this project at work, or I have this exam coming up. Or I feel like God is calling me to go on missions this summer, but I have this or that. And we think, well, you know what? Maybe this time I won't listen to God, and maybe next time I will. But it's not that you're not listening to God, but it's that you're not like God at all. That's the reality, right? That when you're not willing to go out, when you're not willing to lose things, that you are not like God. Because that's what Paul says in Philippians when he describes the life of Jesus, that he was willing to go, that he was willing to lose. And he says what it means for you to reflect who God is to reflect the nature of Christ through your life. And number three, when you are willing to step out, God promises to bless you. That when you are willing to step out, God promises to bless you. Dr. Keller, once again, he says this, if you want more of God in your life, you have to attempt great things for him in your life. And so this is the promise that God makes to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. But you have to be willing to step out. You have to be willing to trust. You have to be willing to follow. You have to be willing to understand the plan and the purposes that I have for you. And the amazing thing is, I'm guessing, I don't know, this is just my guess, but Abraham, he had no idea where he was going, right? God doesn't give him a GPS or iPhone X and says, all right, here's Google Maps. Well, I guess, does Apple Maps? I have no idea. I have a Samsung, so Android, all right? God doesn't say, all right, here's the GPS and here's the plan that's already marked out. You just, all you have to do is just follow this. He had no idea. God just says, go. Where do I go? I'm sure he had so many questions. What do I take? Who do I bring with me? But I'll bet you that even in the midst of the uncertainties and the risks, that one thing that he did not lack is the presence of God in his life. God promises to walk with you and to empower you by his Spirit if you are willing to step out. Right? That's what we see even in Jesus' ministry. In Matthew 3, Jesus is about to be he's about to be baptized by John the Baptist. And we see the Spirit of God descending on him, and it's this picture of God the Father empowering God the Son. But think about when that happens. It happens when? Right before Jesus was about to step out. The truth is that many of us, we struggle with the reality of knowing who God is in our lives. And it doesn't matter how many Sundays you come. It doesn't matter how faithful you are attending your life group or even reading and studying the Word of God. But you will always struggle with understanding the reality of God in your life if you're not willing to go out and be on mission, beyond the mission that God has for you. When you are willing to step out, God promises to bless you. So what does this all mean for us, right? So I have this little, okay. Well, can we go back to the, there we go. All right. So how do we make this personal? The heart of our church is making radical disciples. Right? If you ever have questions on, okay, where are we headed as a church? That answers the question for you right there. That we're about making radical disciples. Regardless of what stage of life, elementary school, we don't have any high school kids yet, so God willing, someday. Maybe not my kids first, but someday, all right. College student, single adult, married couple, regardless of what life stage, what we are focusing on is making radical disciples. And for us, what that looks like is the whole ALIVE acronym. For those of you who've been with our church, for those of you who are new to our church, what it means to be a disciple of Christ is, first of all, you're abiding in Christ. You're learning to abide in Christ. You're learning to grow in your relationship with God. You're learning to ground yourself in his promises for you. Not only are you abiding in Christ, but you're living by faith. You're stepping out. You're learning to trust. You're learning to make decisions based on His word and not your own intuitions. And you're learning to imitate Jesus in the things that you are pursuing after in your life, in the way that you conduct your life, in the way that you serve and love others. You're imitating Jesus, and you're embracing the values of God's kingdom. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, he's saying, be different from the rest of the world. How do we become different? Well, we become different by embracing the values of God's kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached is describing what the values of God's kingdom is. And we are being equipped for ministry. And as we are raising up radical disciples, I believe that three things will happen. We're going to raise up disciples who will engage in the work of building God's kingdom. First of all, there's going to be evangelism and discipleship that's going to happen. One of the fruits of radical discipleship is that you're going to want to go, you're going to want to share the gospel. Not only evangelism and discipleship, but there's going to be missions that happen. And not only missions, but there's going to be missional initiatives that is going to be birthed out of our church. And so let's go to that next. This is my amateurish attempt for, obviously you can tell, I'm not an engineer, right? I did the best that I could. So that's the core of our church, making disciples. Abide in Christ, live by faith, imitate Jesus, values of the kingdom, equip for ministry. And that's why we gather together on Sundays, because we want to make radical disciples. That's why we encourage every single person in our church to be involved in life group, because it's in the life group arena that you're going to be able to do life on life, that you're going to be able to disciple one another, challenge each other to live more like Christ. And that as we are making radical disciples, first of all, we're going to see personal evangelism and discipleship happen. That means it's all of our responsibility to go and share the love of Christ with those in our spheres of influence. Right? When you think about world missions, I just think about how in the world are we going to reach the lost if we're not even able to share the gospel with those around us? Whether it's because we feel like we lack the time, whether it's because we feel like we lack the knowledge, whatever it may be. And so we want to continue to empower every single one of us to share the gospel. And so when I think about Missions Month, it's not just thinking about what's happening out there. That's true. But when you think about missions, it's local as well as global. And so it's about who are you investing in right now? And I'm not just talking about evangelism as in you're throwing the gospel in their face. Jesus loves you. All right, goodbye. But you're investing into that relationship. You're loving that person. You're willing to speak the gospel, and you're willing to live the gospel out for them. And hopefully as they come to know Christ, then you're going to disciple them so that they can lead someone else into the kingdom of God. Unless every one of us takes this responsibility to heart, we as a church, we're not going to expand. And I'm not just talking about expanding in terms of just numbers, but expanding in terms of kingdom impact and fulfilling the calling that God has for us on this campus and in this city. And so not only evangelism and discipleship, but another fruit that's going to be birthed out of making disciples is missions. Then we want to raise up people, and I want to challenge every single member in our church to at least experience one short-term missions. Doesn't mean that God is going to call you to long-term. Some of you, it might. But I'm going to challenge all of you. Students, can I challenge you to sacrifice at least one of your summers to go on a mission trip? Not because it's going to be good for you, but because so that through that experience that you can understand the heart of God for this world even more. That will set you on this trajectory that for the rest of your lives that you will be involved in missions. That means some of you, you're going to go on these short-term trips over and over again. Some of you, as God calls you into specific professions, whether it's teaching or even medicine and so forth, that God is going to use that to create a platform for you to do missions. Some of you, you're going to be people who send, right? You're going to put your money literally where your mouth is. You're going to open up your wallet. You're going to support the cause of people going out to do missions. You're going to pray for them. You're going to send them. You're going to support them. And some of you, God is going to call you to go. So we want to be involved in missions. Not only missions projects, but missions by planting churches. And not only missions, but this is the thing that I really want to emphasize, missional initiatives. That I believe that as we raise up radical disciples, various missional initiatives, that it will be birthed from our church. Missional initiative, it's about getting people to step out. Step outside of the walls of the church so that we can serve and love our city with a burden that God has placed in our hearts. Right? For some of you, God has placed specific people groups in your heart. Others of you, God has placed a specific cause in your heart. And that's great. And we want to cheer you on. And we want you to live out your faith. We want you to live out your conviction. And we want you to bring this life-changing message of Jesus Christ. So that as you love, as you serve, as you pray, as you speak, as you share the gospel, that you can bring about transformation. It's not about the church saying, okay, we're going to go for this, we're going to go for that. Our church, we're going to be about discipleship. But from that discipleship, what we're going to see being birthed out is the various missional initiatives of reaching out to specific people groups in our city or starting initiatives to meet specific needs in our city. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in grand ways, but it could be something that's very simple, at least taking that step forward. It could be something as simple as if you have a burden for a specific people group, then as you discover that there are other people in our church with that specific burden, then once a month you're going to come together and you're going to pray. We want to be able to release you. I think that's the power of the church. That we're raising up radical disciples that we can unleash. Well, maybe not release. Sorry, unleash. So that we can love the city. And the beautiful thing is that we have so many people sitting right here that can make such a difference in so many areas within our city. Because all of us, we have different burdens and different passions. And that's why this year we've dedicated this team to help you in that process. So that you can begin to take some steps forward. We're not going to say that this team is going to have all the answers to your questions. But they're going to challenge you. They're going to walk with you. They're going to try to empower you. So that you can at least take those initial steps. And we don't know exactly what the end result is going to be. And we'll leave that up to the Lord. But what God calls you to do is to step out in faith and to trust and to believe and to risk. Now, I'm not going to make these promises that all of your burdens, that it's going to become a reality, because it might not. But I want to challenge all of us that it's not about us. It's not about our cause, but it's about God and our worship of who He is. So in our worship of who He is, can we step out to say, I want to build God's kingdom by ministering to the youth in our city, by reaching out to specific segments within our city. I want to step out by Saturday evenings. I see a lot of people walking by in this one area of our campus, and they just look really dehydrated because they've been drinking the wrong liquid, and you're thinking, you know what? We're just going to be a blessing to pass out water. This means three specific things, and we'll close with this. This means, first of all, every single one of us, that we can invest into another person. Right? This is where your personal evangelism and missions, where it has to become a reality. That you're investing into at least one person. That you're praying for them, that you're building relationships with them. And then you're asking God to open up doors for you to share the gospel. And let's say you share the gospel, they come to know Christ. Great, we'll rejoice. We'll baptize them. We'll rejoice. If they reject you, that's fine. Continue to love them. Secondly, I'm going to challenge some of you to think about and pray about participating in a missions trip. Once again, yeah, there's going to be a cost involved. But remember what we talked about. Unless you're willing to step out, you will never experience the full blessings of God that He has for you. Blessings of knowing His heart. The blessings of having the privilege to participate in building His kingdom. And then lastly, take active steps towards a missional initiative. Maybe stick around after church today and meet the team and see what they have to offer and talk to them about some of the burdens that God is placing in your heart. Take some active steps forward. Maybe share your burdens with your life group members. And just get together to pray. Take some steps forward. Do something as simple as going and maybe doing a prayer walk. Or a very simple way to serve and to love the city. Take active steps toward a missional initiative. And so for me, that's what this month is all about. It's about helping us to see that when we encounter God face to face, that you cannot help but to be pushed out. And when you are pushed out, you're willing to take risks. But as you take risks, what we see is God promising to pour out His blessings, His promises, His presence, His power, His Spirit into your life. So that ultimately it doesn't become about, man, I was so successful in this. But it becomes about your worship. Like when you think about the life of Abraham, what defines his life isn't at the end he was able to see all his kids and go, yep, that's me right there. Descendants as numerous as the sand. It's been tough, but there it is. No, it's not about that. In fact, he in his lifetime wasn't able to see the promises of God being completed. But even while he stood from afar, he worshiped. And so he is a man who worshiped God. That it's about our worship of who God is. And so the one thing that I want to leave with us simply is this, that we need to steward God's blessings by living to be a blessing to others. That's what this month for me is all about, that we need to steward God's blessings by living to be a blessing to others. Amen. Let's close out. Can you stand with me? We're going to pray a little bit. We'll worship and we'll ask God to move within our church, within our hearts, so that throughout this upcoming month, that even as we live our lives, I know that, yeah, some of you, it's going to be busy. But it's not necessarily going out of your way per se. But it's learning to be the hands and the feet of Christ in the ordinary circumstances of life that God brings you through. And it doesn't have to be extraordinary things. But it can be something so ordinary and simple. Yet when we bring it up to God, we know that it never stays in the realm of what is ordinary. But with that simple act to say, here is my little offering to you, what does Jesus do? He takes it and he multiplies it and he feeds the thousands. The problem is never with Jesus, thinking that here is my little time, my little energy that I have. The problem is with us. And I feel like that's why God is challenging us as a church this upcoming month. That can you steward God's blessings in your life? Which means, can you live to be a blessing? I want you to think about, in this moment, some people in your life right now. Maybe fellow students, maybe family members, maybe your friends, maybe coworkers, neighbors. And I want you to think about God's heart for them and how he has, in his sovereignty, placed you into their lives, so that you can speak his love. I want you to think about some burdens that God is placing in your heart. With God, the issue is never the scope, but it's about our willingness to step out in faith. And I know we've talked about specific issues in the past, but I want to say God is empowering you with the burdens that he has placed in your heart, with the giftings that he has placed in your life, to live out the vision of what it means to be the hands and the feet of Christ in our city. And lastly, I want you to go beyond just our context, and I want you to think about the world. It's amazing to hear about those 40% of our world still do not know the name of Jesus. But even then, God says you can at least take some steps forward to pray. Pray for some of our missionaries like Pastor Andrew and his family that are doing such an important work in Indonesia, in the heart of that 1040 window, that their plan and their vision is to send Indonesians back to the islands that they came from, to bring the gospel message with the hope of maybe starting and planting a church. Pray for our missionaries like Pastor Seth and his family, as you're doing that work, raising up disciples in the city of Hong Kong with the hope of sending them to reach China and beyond. And some of you, that practical step might be that this summer you're going to apply, because it's not about the place. It's not about your preference of where, but it's about learning the heart of God. And it's going to involve risk, but God promises that he will bless you. But let's pray through some of these things together. Not for too long. But I just want to make sure that these are not just my words that you're hearing, but they need to be your own convictions that the Holy Spirit is moving and birthing within your own hearts and lives. And so I want to create some space for that. So whether you want to pray quietly or you want to pray loud enough so that you can hear yourself, let's pray through some of these things and think about God being a God who pushes you out. And if you don't have that desire, or if you don't sense the need to be pushed out, then maybe the question is, have I really encountered God face to face? And maybe that's the place that you need to start. But let's pray and let's ask God to bless this month, to mobilize His people, to send us out. So let's pray for that together. Let's pray together.